Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A farmer won a blue ribbon at a county fair with a very unusual pumpkin from his patch. His pumpkin was exactly the size and shape of a 2-gallon jug. People ask him how he got the pumpkin to grow like that. He told them his secret. It was easy. As soon as it started to grow, I stuck the pumpkin inside a 2-gallon jug. When it filled the jug, I peeled the jug away and harvested it. Now, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy to know and to do the will of God? I mean, if all it took was a simple secret formula like that farmer's, and you could know what God wanted you to do all the time, don't you think that you would do anything to do that, and that you then would easily conform yourself to God's will, just like that pumpkin conformed itself to the jug? How often have you wanted to know the will of God? You know what I mean. You're facing a decision where nothing seems to be plainly right or wrong. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I stay? Do I leave? Do I talk? Do I shut up? You know. And in each of these circumstances, something like this thought comes across our mind. If only I knew what God wanted, I would just do it. If only God would be clear and make his will known, well, I'd gladly obey. Okay. If that's what we want, let's look back in the gospel lesson. Verses 38, 39, and 40. And there, we are told the will of God. In each of those verses, Jesus makes a clear reference to the will of God, to the will of his Father who has sent him. So having been told, we've now been told the will of God, yet we tend to take these words of Jesus for granted. Many of us have lived with them for so long, we no longer hear them the same way we once did. We no longer are consumed by their fire and power and depth. We've heard them, and so we presume that we fully understand them. And now we want something more. We want something fresh to tickle our ears. What we want instead is for God to tell us what our future is in the here and the now. We think, if only God would open up and not be so secretive, then I would do better. We want the memo. We want the outline. We want the schematic and plan of our lives laid out so that we can know exactly what our earthly welfare will be, don't we? But that isn't what we're given. What we are given is much greater and of such surpassing meaning and significance that we often overlook it. It's kind of the we can't see the forest for the trees sort of thing. Yeah, we hear Jesus' words and we take comfort for our eternal rest in those words, but we think that they lack specificity, the specificity we would like to have for our daily lives. There's an old Chinese parable about a farmer who had only one horse and one son to help him out on his farm. One day, the horse ran away. His neighbors gathered around to console him, but he said, "I don't know that it's so bad." A few days later, the horse came back, and he brought two other horses with him. The neighbors quickly came to congratulate him. But the wise farmer said, "I don't know that it's so good." A few days after that, his son broke his leg trying to train the new horses. And of course, immediately his neighbors offered sympathy, but once again, the farmer said, I don't know that it's so bad. Shortly thereafter, the army came through, conscripting all young men capable of service. When they came to the farmer, they said, we want your son for the army. Well, he's over there, he told them, the one with the broken leg. The soldier said, a broken leg? We can't use him. And they left. We often trouble ourselves trying to determine whether events in our lives are all good or all bad. And in doing so, we forget that God alone sees the whole picture from beginning to end, and he is in control. This story can teach us that God, only God, knows what will come as a result of certain actions or inactions. What we are to focus on is what Jesus told us is the will of God, which is in verse 40. Read this with me, please. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Now, I know some of you may be disappointed that I'm not giving you some magic formula, or like the farmer had with the pumpkin, using something like that to make decisions, or showing you some secret passage in Scripture that will allow you to know whether you are to go left or right, to speak or be silent, any of those other things. But we know that knowing what we are to do is no guarantee that we're going to do it. We rather would be better off learning to be grounded in the words of Jesus today regarding the will of God, and let those words guide our decisions. So let me ask, how will you live these words of Jesus today? Will you, as Paul called us to in the epistle lesson, will you follow God's example, as he says in verse 1 of chapter 5? The Greek word, by the way, where it says follow, can be understood to be imitator, and that's important because of what comes up. So, the question is, will we imitate God? Will we walk in love and give of ourselves sacrificially to others as they have need? Will we give as Christ gave? Of course, in our own strength, our own willpower, that's not possible. But as the Holy Spirit does, in fact, live in us, as we live under our baptismal promises from God, we will do the will of God. It's not an option, because you are not your own. Again, it's also not a matter of willpower either. It's simply that we are not our own and that we are now made new. We have a new self, St. Paul tells us in verse 23. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, that's a reality check for us. You have been given. You have been given that righteousness and that holiness as the gift of God to you. It's yours by divine will. It's yours because you've been given the gift of faith to believe in the one the Father has sent, his only Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we learn much in life. We learn to live by imitating. It's hardwired into us to imitate others. Our natural ability to imitate is what also makes advertising so effective? There's a British TV show I like. It's called As Time Goes By. And there's a character in there who's in advertising. And in order to draw people into a bookstore, he pays a couple of dozen folks to stand in line outside. And what he tells his client is, now all we have to do is rely on the good old British instinct to join in any line in front of a shop because there must be something good in there. It's imitation that the advertiser is counting on, and it works, doesn't it? The question is, who? Who do we imitate? That's what's answered in the epistle lesson today. St. Paul tells us to be imitators, not of one another, but of God. We aren't called to be imposters of God. We are called to imitate God. St. Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As beloved children. Just as a child will grow up imitating the adults around her, so we also are to grow up imitating God. Think of all the things that God is that we are called to imitate. He's merciful and kind. He's caring. He's compassionate. The list, of course, would go on and on and on, but it would end with loving. God is loving. And we are his beloved children. Therefore, we are called to imitate him. What Jesus did in dying on the cross for the sins of the world was to remove false imitations. When he died on the cross, he broke the cycle of our presuming or even thinking that we could accomplish God's perfect will on our own. That's gone. Jesus kept his promise to lose none of those who are his own, and he gives us, by his grace alone, the holiness and the righteousness that St. Paul spoke of. And now we get to be imitators of God. We possess the gift of having the will of God accomplished, finished, and then given to us. We now live day by day, moment by moment, we live in that gift. Do we mess it up? Well, yeah. Does that stop us from trying to continue and imitate God? No, because in Christ, forgiveness has been accomplished for us, and we have been completely restored to a right relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. We have been given the will of God, not to accomplish, because Jesus did that. No, rather the gift of God's will is our possession to rejoice in and to live in. We don't earn it. We don't try and make it happen on our own. We can't. Your own experience, my own experience teaches us that. But the love of Christ shown in the cross and by his resurrection from the dead has done that. He has won. As he said in the gospel lesson, all those the Father has given him, not one will be lost. That is you. That's you. You will not now, nor will you ever be lost from God because of your failings. You are in the hand of God. By the power alone of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, he has made you his own. We get to go from here now and live in that. We get to live in the will of God by the power of God's Holy Spirit, who is ours by grace through faith alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of